Gospel of Matthew, and the 11th chapter will be our starting place together this morning. Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 through 30. Familiar verses from the Lord, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to this scripture this morning and to this time of Bible study, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, who not only inspired the writings of these words, but is here now to teach us their meaning and to give us understanding of how you're working in our lives today. And so we ask you to open our hearts, open our eyes that we might see truth, and help us, Father, to find personal application to the scriptures as we read and study them today. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Actually, before we get into the Bible study, I just want to thank you guys again for the service that we had last Sunday. It was a very special service for us last week. And so many people here and old friends and church members and celebrating our 25th anniversary. And we thank you so much for your gifts and for your kind words and your love and appreciation and all that you did for us. Thank you for the reception that we had afterwards. It was wonderful. Most importantly, even more than that, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and to share with you the things the Lord's taught us in our journey. And hopefully as we share these things with you, it'll help you along your way. But we appreciate so much the opportunity to share with you. More importantly, we appreciate your friendship. We appreciate your love. We thank you for your support of our ministry and partnership with us here at the church. This morning, we're going to return to our topic. We've been talking for a couple of months on the topic of being destined to win. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in every situation and through all circumstances, God wants us to be the winners. God wants us to come out on top. We're talking about it this morning in the context of overcoming the tests and trials of life, and specifically in the grief that comes as a result of the many trials that we go through in life. Because the truth of the matter is, all of us will go through some kind of a difficulty. If not already, it's coming. You can bet on it. Because we live in a world that's fallen. We live in a world that's controlled by darkness, by the devil. And we live in a world where bad things happen even to good people. And you can just virtually be guaranteed at some point in our lives we're going to experience some kind of heartache. We're going to go through some hard tragedy or some circumstances designed ultimately by the devil to rob us of our faith and to turn us away from the Lord. And the key for you and I is to hold on to our faith and turn to God in those times. But we all go through those times. Whether it be a crippling accident or a crippling disease, whether it be a financial ruin, whether it be a spouse who deserts you or abandons you, whether it's a sudden or unexpected loss of a loved one, whatever it might be, there are many, many different things that happen to us in life that bring great grief to our heart and to our soul. And this morning we want to talk about these things because there's good news. And the good news is that in spite of all the things that we face and go through in life, God is still there and God still wants us to be winners in life. And though you may not believe it possible, I promise you that God can make it happen. Understand that grief was a natural response to the situations that we go through in life. I think sometimes in churches, sometimes in particular, sometimes we make people feel guilty when they go through grief and we make them feel like they don't have sufficient faith. And we need to understand that that's not the case at all. That in reality, all of us go through tests and trials in life that bring grief. And even the Lord Jesus himself experienced grief in life. The Bible tells us at the tomb of Lazarus that Jesus wept. Now, I don't know so much that it was the specific death of Lazarus that caused him to weep as so much as it was maybe this the general fact that humanity goes through what we have to go through. I believe that's what breaks the heart of God. I think the things that we go through that cause us hard times, I think they hurt God every bit as much, probably even more than they hurt us. It breaks the heart of God that we have to suffer through the things that we do. And yet God is there to be our strength through those things in life. So we should never feel condemned when we go through a season of grief and sorrow in our life. The idea is to go through it. It's to pass through it and not get stuck in it, you see. Psychologists today can identify what they call seasons of grief and the various stages that we often go through. And we don't always go through all of these things. Sometimes we go through a few of them. Sometimes not at all. I shared with you last week the very blessed experience that we had 35 years ago when I was electrocuted, how God in His grace and mercy just enveloped our family with His love and with His comfort and with His peace. So that in spite of what we were going through, we really had no worries. We really had no fears of what was coming down the road for us down the road. I didn't share the details of it last week because I've shared it so many times before. But leading up to the time when I was electrocuted, my life was in turmoil. It really was. I was working a little barely more than minimum wage job. And Becky's at home. We've got a 2-year-old son and another child on the way. And the money that's coming in is not enough to cover the month. And every month I can see that we're getting further and further behind. And it was in the midst of those circumstances that we went through what we did when I was electrocuted. And on the other side of that, coming out of it, no fear and no worry, but trusting that God's going to take care of everything. And God just surrounded us and God just enveloped us with His grace and His goodness and spared us. We were warned in the hospital. We were warned about these seasons of grief and the stages of grief and all these kinds of things. And some of the people, I was in the intensive care unit, the burn unit at Medical College of Virginia in Richmond for a month. And it was about 2 weeks before they actually did the amputation. And as we were waiting for the surgery to go and do the amputation, and my family is with me in the intensive care room there, and we're just talking and just laughing and enjoying life together and enjoying love together. And there was a guy across the room. This was sort of a ward situation, about six or eight guys in that room at the same time. And one of those guys actually thought I'd lost it. He really thought that he told Mom, he said, he needs help. He's crazy. Because we were just laughing and trusting God to take care of everything through it. And God just sovereignly took care of us through that season in our life. And I can't explain that. And dear God, I wished I could give that to you. I wish God would give it to me. There have been other times in my life where there's been those seasons of grief and trials and things that I've gone through. And it's not easy, but we have to trust the Lord through those things. And we have to trust that as we continue to go through with the Lord, that we will, in fact, go through. The psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I'm passing through a valley, but I'll fear no evil because I know I'm coming out on the other side of that valley, you see. And we need to trust that the Lord will take us through the valley, even if we go through the seasons of grief. And I think sometimes those things are God's way of protecting us, even through the tragedies that we go through. I think shock, for example, the initial stage of shock when we experience a tragedy in life, I think that may be God's way of protecting our heart and keeping us from having to endure the full weight of what we're experiencing. God watches over us and takes us through those things. And yes, sometimes there's denial, perfectly normal way to respond. We need to be sure we don't get stuck in it. We need to press through it with the help and grace of the Lord. Anger, yeah. We get mad. Sometimes people get mad at God. God's a big boy. He can handle that. And that's okay. God understands that. But we need to come to that place where we understand, hey, God really didn't have anything to do with this. This is not His fault, and I don't really have any reason to be angry with God. I need to know that God loves me, and He's here for me, and He's bringing me through this. We need to press through till we get to that place. Depression? Yeah. We get depressed sometimes through the things that we suffer in life. But hey, we got to press through it. We can't allow the tentacles of depression to wrap themselves around our soul till we get trapped in that state of depression and despair. We have to press through. We have to keep trusting the Lord. We have to know that God has a victory for us. And then we finally can come through to acceptance and hope and to be restored. Psychologists tell us that as a general rule, often, and I think maybe it has to do with women and their nature, in that they're more in touch with their emotions than guys are. Psychologists tell us that often women will have a harder time with the whole process of grief than men do. Maybe it's because men are sometimes more logical, and we can sometimes, I don't know what it is. I just, as a guy, sometimes I can look at things and I can say, well, it is what it is. And just have to go from there. And that's ultimately where we need to get. And the whole process of grief is realizing, hey, you know, there's nothing we can do about this. It is what it is. And move forward from there. I tell you, if you think about those, that list of things that I shared with you, those tragedies that we go through in life, if you notice, all of those things are things, listen, are things that are out of our control. They're out of our control. And I think that's where we struggle a lot of times with issues of life, with the things that are out of our control. Because if we'll be honest, most of us like to be in control. We like to think we've got it under control. And we don't like to admit when things get out of control. But the fact of the matter is, we can't control everything. And sometimes we have to get to that place. In fact, I believe this is a key to getting past the seasons of grief, is to understand this thing is out of my control and I have to leave it with God. I have to let go of it. And I have to let God take care of it. There are a couple of examples I want to share with you this morning. Some examples of grief in the Bible. If you'll look with me over at the book of Joshua and the first chapter. In Joshua chapter 1, the children of Israel and Joshua himself, they are in a season of grief. The great prophet of Israel, Moses, has died. He's brought them to the border of the promised land, but now he has died, and it's God who's going to give Joshua the responsibility of taking the children of Israel in. You have to understand how significant Moses was to the nation of Israel in order to understand their grief. This was the great prophet that had led them for 40 years. He had brought them out of the land of Egypt with extraordinary miracles. He was a powerful and mighty man that God had used to bless the nation for many, many years. Their father, if you will, has passed on, and now they've got to move on without him. And the Bible tells us that Israel goes into a great deep season of grief in their life, where there's lamentations and weeping and wailing over the departure of Moses, the servant of the Lord. But then we come to the book of Joshua in the first chapter. God is ready to lead the children of Israel on into the promised land. And so he says to Joshua and to the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 1 verse 1, "It came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given it to you," he tells the children of Israel. "From the wilderness to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea," that's the Mediterranean, "toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life," he tells Joshua. And so God is calling the children of Israel to move on and fight in spite of the fact that Moses has passed away. After the season of grieving, God says it's time to leave the past behind and move on with me. I think one of the problems that we have with getting over grief is getting caught up in holding on to the past and not willing to be moved on beyond where we were. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the memories of all the good things that we had before the tragedy came, and sometimes to be tied to those things that we can't move on and experience what God has for us in the future. In fact, I believe that's one of the great attacks of the devil against our lives. When we go through tragedy, it's to constantly remind us of how good it used to be before the tragedy broke. And then we just dwell on it, and we just think about it, and we keep those thoughts in our mind continually. You know what the devil does? The devil knows, listen, the devil knows if he can get us to waste today by thinking about yesterday, he can steal our tomorrow and our future and the joy of it. And so there has to come that time in our life where we're ready to move on with the Lord. He plays mind games with us, and he plants all those thoughts in our minds, and we think, well, if only this had happened, and if only that had happened, and if only I had done this, and if only I had done that, and why did this go this way, and why did that, and all the thoughts that come, all of those attacks that the enemy brings against our mind to try to hold us in the past, along with the guilt trips and all of the other things that he places on us. As though, here's the funny thing, I think he actually convinces us that if we can just think about it long enough and think about it hard enough and really bear down on thinking about the past, maybe, just maybe, we can change it. And we know we can't. It is what it is. We have to move on. And we have to come to that place in the Lord and by His grace where we're ready to let go of the past and move on with God. Doubts come. Blame comes. We even try to blame God for the things that we go through. But ultimately we have to come to the realization that God is good. That God is on our side. God is looking out for us if we'll place our life in His hand. And anything that tells us anything to the contrary, listen, brother and sister, any voice that tells you anything other than God is good is a lying voice. And we need to reject that. We need to be able to get to the place where we recognize that that voice is really the voice of the enemy. And we need to reject that voice and reject those lies and reject those doubts. And as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Don't let the devil play games with your mind. Don't let the devil rule in that area of your life. That's the real battlefield. That's where we have to take authority. That's where we have to take control. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians, give no place to the devil. Paul tells us actually we need to set our mind on things above. The Bible says that we need to focus our mind and fix our mind on things above where Christ is seated. Let me read the familiar passage to you from the book of Philippians in the 4th chapter. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Listen to this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Notice he didn't say rejoice in the Lord when everything is going good. But then when things go bad, whine and complain, gripe. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. You and I need to make a decision that even when things don't go good in our life, we're going to rejoice in God. We're going to believe that God is good even when the circumstances are not. And we're going to rejoice in the Lord because God Himself is good. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. That's why you can rejoice always, brother and sister. The Lord is near. He is in you, and He is with you. And therefore, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, here's where we make a choice. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure and whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's anything excellent or worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice such things. And the God of peace will be with you. We need to make a choice. The things that we're going to think about, the things that we're going to give our attention to, the things that we want to dwell on, ponder, and meditate. We're going to look to God, and we're going to trust God with both our past and our future and move on with Him. Joshua and the children of Israel moved on with God and ultimately inherited the promised land. There's another good example of grief in the Old Testament in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 30. And it's the story of David, King David. It's actually before David is the king of Israel. He's still on the run from Saul at this point. Although many men have come to his aid and they've come to accompany him, David had actually gone into the land of the Philistines. Now, you know, anything about the Bible at all, you know that the Philistines and the Israelites were constant enemies of each other. And yet David has actually convinced the Philistines that, you know, because Saul is on the outs with David, that David would be all right to hang out with as a Philistine. Don't know how they got there, but they did. And he lived among the Philistines. They actually gave David and his men one of the cities of their part of the world. And David and his men lived in this in the city there. And they would actually go out from the city. The Philistines thought they were fighting with them. But David and his men would go out from that city and they would fight against other armies, other enemies of Israel, without the Philistines even knowing it. On one of these excursions, they go out to fight. And when they come back, they find that one of their other enemies, I believe it was the Amalekites, had raided their home city and had taken everything that they owned, including their wives and their children. And so this chapter tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 30, it tells us in verse 1, it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag, and this is the city that they lived in, that the Amalekites had made a raid on Ziklag, and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with them lifted their voices and wept. Listen to this, verse 4. Wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Such grief had gripped their hearts, they just cried until they could cry no more. Overcome with the grief of having lost everything, not just the material possessions, but their families as well, wives and sons and daughters. David's own family had been taken, the fifth verse tells us. Verse 6 tells us, moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. His own army turned against him. David, you led us away from home, and look what's happened as a result. You're not worthy to be our leader, man. And they were going to stone him to death. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But look at the end of verse 6. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Brother and sister, you and I have a secret weapon the world doesn't have. The world has to face their grief with nothing but their own wits and nothing but their own self-will and maybe the help of a few good friends. But you and I have a secret weapon with which we can face the grief that comes to us in life. And that secret weapon is God Himself. We have a relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth who loves us desperately and wants to bless us abundantly. And comes to us in seasons of grief to bring healing and hope for the future. The scripture says David strengthened himself in the Lord. No doubt he drew near to the Lord, to that secret weapon, without blaming God, turning to God and trusting God to be his answer. How many of you know you can't be strong in the Lord when you're running from God? When bad things happen and you want to blame God and you distance yourself from God, you can never be strong in the Lord when you're distancing yourself from God. You've got to draw near. We have to draw near. And David draws near to the Lord. No doubt he worships the Lord. He's the sweet psalmist of Israel. And the Bible says that God inhabits our praise when we draw near to Him. And David worships the Lord. I suspect he reminds God of all the things that had happened, reminded himself of all things. Remember when he went out and fought against Goliath? And he reminded himself and he reminded King Saul, of all of the other victories that God had given him when he went out and fought against the lion or the bear that tried to steal of his flocks. And he said, God's always been with me, man, and no matter what enemies come against me, God has defeated my enemies for me. And he reminded himself of what he could do when he went up against Goliath. I have an idea he probably did the same thing. When he experienced this grief, he reminded himself of what God could do. Brother and sister, when things come against us in life, we need to remind ourselves of who God is. We need to remind ourselves of the great things that God has done for us in the past. And we need to keep looking to God with the expectation and the hope that God will do the same thing for us in the future. Certainly, he kept holding on to his hope. He never let go of his hope, looking to God, expecting better days were ahead. There's a psalm that's recorded for us in the book of Psalms. It's Psalm 57. Let me see if I can find it for you quickly. It's a psalm that's believed to have been written by David during this, not maybe precise moment in his life, but during this season in his life when he and his army are on the run from King Saul. It's Psalm 57. And God, this is the word of David. This is the psalm of David to the Lord, Psalm 57. I'm going to read the whole thing, all 11 verses. It says, be gracious to me, God. Be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you. Remember, he's under a weight of oppression and grief and attack from his enemy, Saul. For my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High. To God, look at this, verse 2. To God who accomplishes all things for me. David said, things are bad, but I know my God is on my side. And I know that in some way, shape, or form, and at some time that he will determine, God's going to be there, and he's going to accomplish great things in my life. Verse 3, he will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. My soul is among lions. You ever felt like life was tearing you up? My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit for me. They themselves have fallen into the pit. David said, God's going to trap my enemies in their own traps, and they're going to fall into their own mistakes. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. King James says, fixed. It's set. It's immovable. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. David's in a hard place, brother and sister. David's not in a place where it'd be comfortable to sing songs of praise to the Lord. It'd be more natural to whine and complain. But you know what he does? He makes a choice. He makes a choice to think on whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good or excellent or worthy of praise. He makes a choice to think about God, and he makes a choice to worship the Lord. Even in these trying times of his life, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. Awake my harp. Awake harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. He says, I'm going to drive back the darkness of my life by singing praises to God. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory fill the whole earth. He made the quality decision to not let his circumstances turn him away from God, but rather to praise God in the midst of the negative circumstances of his life. David would say in Psalm 30 and verse 5, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Hope, brother and sister, is a positive expectation for the future. And a believer should always have that no matter what he's going through in life. And I encourage you today to hold on to your hope. Don't let go of hope. Hope is that positive expectation of the future because God is good. And in spite of what we go through, in spite of those things, God is still there to give us a future and to give us a hope. He is our secret weapon in time of trouble. By the way, notice that verse of Scripture didn't say, it didn't say that believers don't grieve. That verse of Scripture says plainly, we do grieve. But it says, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Look at what Paul says. Paul says, yes, we grieve, but we grieve in hope. We grieve in hope that God is going to be there in the midst of it. And God is going to bring us through. And God is going to give us the victory. Because God is good. And we need to learn to see our circumstances and the sufferings that we go through in this life in the light of all eternity. Whereas Paul says in the book of 2 Corinthians, this momentary light affliction will give way to eternal weights of glory. It's awesome when you stop and think about it. You and I have eternity to look forward to. The moment that we're going through right now, the situation that we're struggling with that's causing so much pain, that's causing so much grief, it will pass. It's not going to last forever. But you will. And you'll spend forever in the presence of the Lord if you believe in Jesus. You have eternity. You see, we need to learn to frame our lives in the context of eternity. We need to see what we're going through in the life in the perspective of all eternity and how glorious eternity is going to be. I lost my arm 34 years ago, 35 years ago. Chances are pretty good I'm not going to live another 35 years. You know what that means? It means I've been longer without it than I will be. My brother passed away some 30 years ago, nearly 30 years ago. I probably won't live another 30 years. You know what that means? It means it won't be as long as it has been before I'll see him again. Perspective, brother and sister. Context. Perspective. It's almost, it's mind-blowing to me that it's been almost five years since my father passed away. Some respects, it seems like 5 weeks. But you know what that means? It means I'm 5 years closer to the time I'll see him again. Perspective, brother and sister. We have eternity to look forward to. We need to frame our lives and the circumstances of what we go through in the perspective of eternity with Jesus. We have brothers and sisters in the Lord who the Bible says can help us. In fact, did you know the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that God gives us comfort through the things that we go through in life so that we can then turn and give comfort to others who go through similar things. And if we're going through a season of grief, then we should have a family in the Lord that we can turn to, that will encourage us in the things of God and help us to walk through the difficult trials and circumstances of life. Jesus' own disciples went through a season of grief. Did you know that? Jesus taught them about that in John chapter 16. John said, there's coming to you a season of grief when I will be taken away from you. But know this, soon you will see me again and your grief will be turned to joy. And so he told them in John chapter 14 and verse 1, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he promised them in verse 16, he said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he might be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is talking about the precious Holy Spirit, brother and sister, that God has given to you and I as a companion for life, as a companion to go through every circumstance of life. You and I have a secret weapon to endure the trials and tests of life. It's the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within us. And you and I need to learn to cultivate a precious and intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, who has been given to teach and to guide and to lead and to empower, to strengthen, to bring comfort, to bring peace and even joy to our hearts. He's called the Helper in the Bible. The Old King James Bible calls him the Comforter. The Comforter. The perfect name for the Holy Spirit when we go through the season of grief. The Holy Spirit is our Comforter. The Spirit of God who dwells in us, that ever-present help in time of trouble. And we need to develop that intimate relationship with the Spirit of God so that we listen to His voice, so that we lean on His heart, so that our eyes are open to the Lord and we hear what He has for our lives. And brother and sister, if we will cultivate that intimacy with the Holy Spirit and learn to live through life with Him each and every day, we'll learn how to draw the strength that we need from the Spirit of God who dwells within us to enable us to go through victoriously all of the tests and trials of life. And brother and sister, if we will do that, if we will learn to cultivate that daily, moment by moment, intimate relationship with the Spirit of God, I promise you, in His time, He will turn our sorrow to gladness and our grieving to joy. Father, we thank You today for the great love that You have for each and every one of us. No matter where we are in our lives today, no matter where we are in the journey that we're going through in this moment, thank You, Father, that You love us. You care about us and You care for us. And Your desire is to be here in us, to bring forth peace, joy, and to bring comfort to our heart and to our soul. Indeed, Lord, the psalmist promises us in Psalm 23, You restore our soul. We thank You for that today. And so we thank You, Father, that no matter what it is that we face in life, no matter what it is that we're going through, You are strong enough and You are good enough to bring us through, to help us to pass through the valley of the shadow of death, that we might once again stand on the mountaintop with You. Lord, I pray for my little church family here today. And I pray for those that might be suffering from some tragedy that they've experienced in their life. And I pray, Father, for a special anointing of Your Holy Spirit upon them. God, that You would remind them of who You are and how desperately You love them and care for them. That, Lord, You would help them to see the circumstances that they're going through in the light of all eternity with You. That, Father, we would be able and willing to let go of the good things of the past, the joys, the good experiences, the precious people. And as we give it all to You, Father, lay our hand in Yours and trust You to lead us into our promised land. Even as You led Joshua and the children of Israel into theirs, so we believe You have a promised land for us. A land where You fulfill Your promises in our lives and You restore our soul. I thank You for that inner healing today, Father. I give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Can we stay in an attitude of prayer for just a moment together? Would you allow the Lord to speak to your heart today? I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord and in your journey through this life. Maybe you're walking with the Lord faithfully every day. Maybe you've given everything in your life to the Lord and He truly is the Lord of your life. That's wonderful. That's awesome. But maybe we're not walking as closely with the Lord as we ought to. Maybe we're not living the way that we really know that we should. Would you allow the Lord to speak to your heart about those issues in your life today? And would you be willing this morning to have a brand new and fresh start with God? Start your life all over again with God today and make a decision, make a quality decision that beginning today, you're going to walk in the Spirit, you're going to live moment by moment in the will of God, doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. All God's after from you and I is the decision. He'll give us the strength. He'll give us the hope. He'll put the desire in our heart if we'll make a decision to walk with Him. For the steadfast love of the Lord is new every morning. His mercies never end. Great is the faithfulness of our Lord. Thank you, Father. I pray this morning, Father, that you would draw hearts back to yourself. That you would renew each one of us in our spiritual journey and in our walk with you. I pray if there's any here that don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that today, Father, would be their day of salvation. Today would be their day when they acknowledge, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the resurrected Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, and I need you to save my soul because I know that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, save my soul. You can pray a simple prayer like that to the Lord today. You can start a brand new life in a moment's time. God love you and God bless you if you make such a decision today. But wherever you are in your journey through life, would you make a decision today to live the rest of your life with Jesus? Live the rest of your life with Jesus and live it for His glory. Thank you, Father. Before we dismiss this morning, let me ask you to do us one favor, if you would, please. There are a number of people in our church not with us today. There are a lot of viruses and colds and flus and illnesses going around out there, and it's quite possible that they've fallen victim to some of that. We've prayed for them this morning, but I want to ask you to do us a favor, if you would. Would you help us make contact with the people that are not here today? Let's just establish our love for them in a phone call or an email and just say, hey, we love you and we miss you and we hope you're okay, and find out what's going on in their lives. Let's do everything that we can. Let's be that brother, that sister that brings comfort, that offers a prayer of healing, that brings a word of hope to those that might be discouraged, caught in grief, or today battling an illness. Would you be the hands, the eyes, the ears, mouth of the Lord to those people and encourage them in their spiritual journey? Father, you've encouraged us in our journey today. You've reminded us of who you are once again. And you've told us how much you love us and what you're willing and able to do for us as our God, our Father, our friend. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you that indeed you never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for your mercies and love that are new every morning. Thank you for these precious people that have come to this church today. I ask your blessing on each one of them, Lord. May they know the blessing of the peace of the Lord. May they know and experience what your word calls joy unspeakable and full of glory. May they know hope for the future by the spirit of hope that dwells within them. May they experience health by the strength of the Lord in their mortal flesh. May they know the will of the Lord as the Holy Spirit speaks wisdom, brings guidance, and gives direction, and makes provision. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of our needs, carrying us through this week that's ahead. As we walk through this week with you, Father, may your light shine brightly within us. May our lives be living witnesses of your grace, faithfulness, and love. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together. And if we can pray with you about specific things after the service, if you'll stay around, we'll pray those prayers and give you the personal ministry that you need today. Let's sing together. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Have a great day in the Lord. It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a good week.